Thank you, Abram, for that illustration and that message for all of us, even though you had the children up here, just appreciated that word. To each one of us, the power that is in the tongue, in the words that we say. And you know, it's what is in our heart is what comes out, right? The words, the attitude, it is what is deep down within us. Just tremendously blessed again to be here this morning. And I've just been, I guess, ministered to and just humbled again by the grace of God, the love of God, the faithfulness of God this morning. I just amazed again at how the Spirit of God longs to lead us and guide us, and how He does lead us and guide us. I sat back there and wept through most of the worship time, just marveling at the goodness of God. I could literally take the songs that we sang this morning and preach my message out of every one of them. And Seth didn't know what God had laid on my heart. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. That's the way He desires to lead us. And I stand before you this morning as the messenger that, with the message that I feel God has placed on my heart this morning, and I want to tell us this morning as a church, I believe that God has this message for us. It was not the one that I was intending to share when I first was planning for my next message, I would say, but just felt the Lord really laid this on my heart to put this ahead of some of the others that I was planning on. And just want to share this morning, by the grace of God, what He has placed upon my heart. I plan to do some illustrating on the board. I don't consider myself a really great illustrator, but I want to, by the grace of God, do that this morning to help us grasp what God's heart is for us, what His desire is for us, and what His message is for us this morning. Let's all stand just for another word of prayer before we get into this. Our Father, we come before You this morning. We lift our hearts to You, Father. We lift our hearts to You, Father, in praise and adoration, because You are worthy. We lift our hearts to You this morning, Father, in praise and adoration, because You are faithful. You are faithful this morning, Lord, to speak to Your children, Father. You are faithful this morning, Lord, to guide us and to lead us, Father. Lord, what is man this morning that Thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that Thou visitest him? We are but grass, who today are, but tomorrow will no longer be. And yet, Lord, in Your love, You speak to us, Father. In Your love, You care for us, Father. In Your love, Father, You minister to us, O God, Father, from Your word. Lord, in Your love, You draw us. In Your love, You've made a way. You've made a way to the Father. You've made a way, Father, to live above reproach. You've made a way, Father, to be redeemed, Father, out of the sinful, fallen state that we were in, Father. You've made a way to walk in truth. You've made a way to walk in life. And God, I just pray this morning, Father, that You would just reveal that way to us in a further way, oh God. God, I just pray, Father, as I stand before You this morning, Lord, I just pray, Father, that You would take my life. Lord, who am I to be Your messenger, Father? Who am I? God, I just pray, Father, that You would take these lips, take the message that You have placed upon my heart, Father, and I just pray, oh God, that You would convey it to our hearts. Convey it to each one here, Father, young and old, And God, I just pray, Father, Lord, against any hindering spirit, Father, any distraction, Father, that would want to come and snatch the word away, Father. God, I just pray, Father, Lord, that it could land, Father, on ground that is prepared, Father. Lord, may the Spirit of God go before us and prepare our hearts, Father, to receive the seed, Father, that it might bring forth fruit for your glory and for your honor this morning, Father. May your name be lifted up. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6 will be our verse for the message this morning. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the message that is on my heart, this message is nothing new this morning. It's not anything that we don't know. And yet I believe it's so fundamental. It's such a profound truth that we must understand, that we must grasp the reality of. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So what way is he? He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see here that Jesus Christ is the way to the Father, to God the Father. Who is that? Who is God the Father? Who is he to us? I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture today. And so unless I ask you to turn there, just follow with me. I'll be reading a lot of it on my notes. A lot of it I won't be turning to, but some of it we will. So just stay with me as we go through these. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. Our God is a jealous God. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So we see here that God, the Father, is a jealous God. He is a holy God. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy as I am holy. Leviticus 19:2. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus 20:26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. So we see that God the Father is a holy God. Romans chapter 1, go ahead and turn to this one. There's quite a few verses here that I want to read. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead,
so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And now verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Here we see that God is a just judge. And He is righteous. He's a just God, and He is righteous. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6a says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I am the Lord, I change not. God is unchanging. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. So we see here that God, the Father, that we need a way to, He is a jealous God. He is holy. He is a just judge. He is righteous, and He is unchanging. His ways do not change. His character does not change. His requirements do not change. And He has asked for His people to be holy as He is holy. Next, I want to look at who we are without Him. Fallen mankind. We were all once there. We were born as fallen creatures. We were born in sin and death. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So down here, we have sin and death. Romans 3:10-18. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So here we have destruction and misery. Destruction and misery as fallen mankind. And there's many more verses we could look at, but I'm just going to write down some things here. We have pride. We have lust. We have envy. We have hatred. We have murder. We have drunkenness. And we have gluttony. And we could keep going with that list until the board would be totally full. But I want us to see where we've all come from, where we've all been, where we are without Jesus Christ. Without a way, how do we span this chasm? And if I'd be a better artist, maybe I'd draw a big chasm there that we could see that would be uncrossable in our own strength. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Actually, sorry, I want to read verses 1 to 10. So picture with me, let's consider where we were, where we are without Christ, and where God has asked us to be, where He desires for us to be. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," notice that, "but God," we were all down here, no way out, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So what God in His mercy made for us a way. He made for us a path. And what is that path? Or should I say, who is that path? Who is that way? Amen. The verses that we read at the beginning, "I am the way." Jesus Christ Jesus Christ is the way. The way from fallen, from sin and death, from destruction, from all these things that the lust of the flesh would desire to work in our lives. He is the way to the Father, to satisfy His jealousy, to walk in His holiness, to stand before the just judge in confidence of what Jesus Christ has done. The price that He has paid, the way that He has made for us to walk in His righteousness, in His holiness. God has made a way. John 14, verse 1 to 6 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And then here's our verse. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter and John, after they healed the lame man, were brought before the authorities. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ is the way, the only way. He is the narrow way. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So we see here, there's a narrow gate. There's a narrow entryway that we must enter into Christ. It is only through Christ. You know, mankind has tried to find all kinds of avenues to get to the Father, but there's one. There's one way. It's Jesus Christ. Luke 13, 22 to 28, "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And ye shall answer and say, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." We see here, Jesus is saying, few there be that find it. Many, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done all these things? Have we not eaten and drunk in your presence? You've taught in our streets. We've acknowledged you. We've acknowledged that you are the way. The question this morning is, are we in the way? Am I in the way? Do I know the way? The way is not something that we just need to know of. The way is not just something that we acknowledge as truth. The way is a person. The way is Jesus Christ. You know, we all sitting here this morning, we know that He is the way, right? Does He know us? Does He know us? Do we personally commune and fellowship with Him? And will He know us in that day? Jesus is the way. Next, we want to look at the truth. The truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the truth. So what is truth? When Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Now, I'm not sure, I'm not sure if Pilate said that with a true searching heart, like what is truth he really wanted to know, or if he just kind of said it sarcastically in the situation that he was in. Obviously, Jesus was saying one thing, the mob was saying another thing, and I think he was frustrated. He's like, what is truth? He didn't really know what to believe, though it does seem evident that he did believe Jesus, but then he was swayed by the crowd. But what is truth? It's a question that all of us face. It's a question that is pretty relevant in the world today. People searching for truth. What is truth? How do we know the truth? How do we know what the truth is? John 17:17, and Jesus, when Jesus was praying for his disciples, for us, for you, for me, he was pouring out his heart to the Father. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. John 16:13-15. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. We have the Spirit of truth. Sorry, I didn't finish that. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Spirit takes who Christ is and reveals it unto us. He reveals the truth to us. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice up here, under the truth, I wrote freedom. The truth brings freedom. The truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It says, therefore, whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin. And I believe we all know what that's like. To be the servant to sin and to not walk in complete freedom. Jesus, to answer our question, what is truth? Let's change the question a little bit and say, who is truth? It is not so much about what is truth. Yes, thy word is truth. His word is truth. But again, who is the word? Jesus Christ is the word, made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is truth? That's what I want to change our question to. Who is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. It's knowing Him. It's knowing Christ is what will set us free. Truth is not something that we know. I'm sorry, truth is not something that we know, but it is rather someone that we know. It is a relationship with Christ. It is knowing Christ in an intimate way. It is walking in communion and fellowship with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will walk in truth. We will walk in freedom. We will walk in love. Next, we want to look at the life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The life. Do we know that life? Do we have that life? John 1:1-4 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life. Jesus Christ is our life, is the life. It is our life if we are in Him. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. What is that life? What is the life that he is talking about? I believe it is the life of victory. Victory over sin and death. That was the life of Christ. The very life of Christ represented victory over the devil. You know, the enemy, the devil, thought he had ultimately won the victory in the garden. God created Adam and Eve in His likeness, in His perfection, in His likeness. And He had created them to have a relationship and communion with God so that God could receive glory and pleasure from that. And the devil came and destroyed that relationship, destroyed their holiness, destroyed their ability to commune in the presence of God. And he thought he had won the victory. But then came Jesus Christ. The whole life of Jesus Christ, from the beginning to the end, his whole life here, his whole what he is doing in heaven now, interceding for us, the whole life and purpose of Jesus Christ is brought out in the word victory. It represents victory. Victory over the enemy. Victory in our lives from sin, from death, from destruction and misery, from pride, lust, envy, hatred, murder, drunkenness, gluttony, all the works of the flesh. The life of Jesus Christ represents victory over all of those things. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And that is what he is talking about there in those verses. He's talking about being our good shepherd. He brings us life. He nourishes us. He feeds us. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you have this life? He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What does that look like? Is that evident in your life? An abundant life. Is that the life of Christ flowing out of you? An abundant life. Is he your shepherd? Is he the one leading you into green pastures by still waters? Preparing a table before you. When he is our shepherd, he feeds us. When he is our shepherd, he leads us. When he is our shepherd, he protects us against from the enemy. And when he is our shepherd, he gives us life. John 10, 27 to 30 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a beautiful, beautiful passage if Jesus Christ is our shepherd. If we are walking in that way that he has made for us. He is the resurrection and life. John 11, 21 to 26. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Colossians 3, 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Is Christ our life this morning? Is Christ flowing through us abundantly? 1 John 5, 3 to 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Again, victory through the way, through walking in that way, who is walking in Jesus Christ. Christ in us, us in Christ. Also, verses 11 to 12 there in that chapter. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jesus Christ, a river of life. John 7, 37 to 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He that believeth on me, he that He that finds this way, he that walks in this way, he that walks in Christ, he that has the life of Christ in his life, rivers of living water shall flow out of him. Does that describe our life this morning? Rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being, flowing out of us as God pours in. Does it flow out of us? Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." It doesn't say that it might or it could, or it, if you want it to, it can. It says, "He that believeth on me, he that truly walks in me, rivers of living water will flow out of him." Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. What is Christ's call to us as his people, to us as believers? Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to what? According to his works." According to how we live. According to really what we believe. Because what we believe is what we live. How we believe is what we live. How we live our days is the way we live our life. What is Christ's call to us? He says, "If any man will come after me," or "come with me to the Father." If any man will come on this way, there's only one way to the Father. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny himself. We must say no to the works of the flesh, to the pride of life. To deny ourselves, to take up his cross, to take our way to the Father. You know, we saw here it's a narrow way up here to the Father. It's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. And as we are on this way, we embrace the truth, and it sets us free. We embrace the life. We live the life of victory. To live my life in Christ. To live my life in the way. The only way to truth is through Christ. Through the way. As we said before, people have tried many ways. Mankind has tried many ways to the Father. Have tried many ways to a life of victory. Many ways to try to find the truth. But there is only one way. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What does this look like for you? What does this look like for you this morning? as you are sitting here this morning? Are you walking in this way? And as you're walking in this way, are you finding Jesus Christ? Are you walking in the truth? Are you walking with Him? Are you walking in Him? Are you finding in Him the life of victory? Victory over sin, victory over pride, lust, envy, all those things, the works of the flesh. Where are you today? Where are we on this journey? Are we still down here? Or have we entered into the way? Have we embraced the truth and are living the life of Jesus Christ? I'm going to open the altar this morning. And if you're here this morning and you've never embraced the way, you've never fully embraced the way to the Father through Jesus Christ, you've never fully committed and surrendered, you've never made that commitment to come, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him in that way, then you can come. If you're here this morning in need of freedom, you find yourself too many times in the bondage of sin, in the bondage to the flesh. You've embraced the way, you desire to walk in the way, but the lack of freedom in your life is bogging you down. Come. Jesus says, come. If you're here today and you desire victory and a more abundant life in Christ, Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He desires that we walk an abundant life, in a full, vibrant walk with Him, knowing His heart, knowing His will. Jesus says, come. Where do you find yourself today? Jesus is saying, come. Come, leave yourself, your flesh, your desires. Leave yourself at the foot of the cross. Take my way. Embrace my truth. Live my life. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and find rest for your souls. If any of these are you this morning, I just invite you to come. Just stand and come to the front. Just pour out your heart to God. And Jordan, if you could lead us in Psalm number 50. We sang that earlier. But just as we just come before the Lord this morning, open your hearts if He's speaking to you. If you're in need of freedom, in need of victory, or if you want to make that initial commitment or a recommitment to walking in that way, Jesus is here this morning saying, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we'll sing that song. If anyone wants to come, just spend some time in prayer. And then, Brother Mel, you can close when you see fit.